I'm just checking. By golly, do we have Mike Hirsch on the line? Are you there, Mike? No. I will speak of Mike Hirsch. They had a meeting at the Steelworkers Hall 1 week ago and to celebrate the life of a great man, a great friend of all of us, Mike Seward. Are you there, Mike Hirsch?
Yes, I am, Phil.
That was a surprise entry. Mike, we're calling you a little earlier than you expected, so my apologies.
That's not a problem. I'm in Florida here with my mother.
Oh, okay. So, I'm glad you mentioned your mother because all rank and file members assume that the union leaders go to Florida during the winter, but that's not true. You're there on a humanitarian mission, and
I'm a caregiver for my mother. I come 1 week every month.
Good for you. Well, Mike Seward was a wonderful guy. We knew him, and I often call him the Jimmy Higgins, bringing in the name of Upton Sinclair, the great novel about a rank-and-file, intelligent, well-spoken, hard-working champion of his union and of labor causes. Now, you had an event 1 week ago. Tell us about that event.
Yes, it was on November 12th. The Steelworker Toronto Area Council held an event commemorating Mike with a plaque that's been done on his behalf for his contribution, not only to the steelworkers, but to the Canadian labor movement, because Mike was active in his own local. He was president of his local. He was president of the Toronto Area Council. He was president of the Toronto Metro Labor Council. But he was active. He was well known throughout the union movement. You talk about Jimmy Higgins. I mean, he could be depended upon to show up at every picket line for every union, not only across Canada, really. I mean, because he was very popular in the States as well. Mm-hmm. He could walk into union halls in the States as well as in Canada, because he was always active and supportive of whatever strikes or political events were going on. I mean, he was. Really, he was well known.
By the way, he's a proud Newfoundlander, right?
A very proud Newfoundlander.
And I think a lot of his personality, a lot of us say, boy, he really represents Newfoundland, doesn't he? I mean,
he does. You know, it's funny.
Happy,
Kenny
big
Newman
chest,
was one of the speakers.
Ready to talk.
Kenny Newman was one of the speakers. Kenny is the national director for the steelworkers. And he commented that Mike was a Newfoundlander first, but also a union activist, political activist, and a social activist. Mm-hmm. But his Newfoundland experience really is what, you know, gave him the background that he had, you know, for all the things he accomplished. Kenny also made the comment that you don't have to be a Newfoundlander to be a strong union activist, but it doesn't hurt. Now, Mike was, you know, and it's not just that he was dependable and he would always be there. People forget he had a deep understanding of all these issues that he was active around. I mean, it's interesting, you know, because I was just thinking about it. I talked to Mike on the Wednesday before he died. He died on the Saturday. And my father had just passed away a couple of weeks before, and we were talking about American history. He knew so much about, because my father was at the Martin Luther King's I Had a Dream protest in 69. And so we were talking about racism. We were talking about the American empire. In fact, the last thing Mike said to me on the Wednesday was that he had loaned me a book by David Talbot, The Devil's Chessboard, about Alan Dulles and the CIA. Mm. And he wanted the book back, and he got me a book. It was just recently published about Bob Dylan, a biography. And we were supposed to meet to exchange books on. Actually, it's interesting. We were supposed to meet. We were going to meet on the Thursday. Mm. You know, you think back, and you don't think about these things because how was I supposed to know what was to happen?
Yes.
But he told me on Wednesday. I wanted to get together with him on Thursday, and he said, you know, I just had something to eat, and it's not agreeing with me. Let's do it on Friday. And so I brought the book on Friday, and he didn't show, and then I found out the next day what happened.
Wow.
But we talked about the American Empire and about American history. He was well-read. He was knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. He really had a deep understanding of the issues he was involved in, and people have to remember that, too. He's just not, it's not, there's nothing wrong with showing up at all the events, which is you could depend on him to do, but he also knew what he was doing.
Well, that's why I say Jimmy Higgins. I do recommend, by the way, all you people who think you have labor history and background, read Upton Sinclair's great novel, Jimmy Higgins, and you'll get a taste of who Mike Siebert is.
Yeah.
Because he knew, listen, somebody's got to get there early and get that meeting organized. It has to start on time. It has to have the right speaker. And if the speaker isn't there, Mike could do the talking.
And exactly. Often he was the one that would end up speaking. And you know, he may or may not have been scheduled to speak, but he was always prepared to do so.
That's just like the Boy Scouts.
He led a lot of these events that he was attending.
Yeah. Well,
a remarkable man, really.
Yeah. Now, by the way, members of his family were there. It's a great family, too. Did some of them speak?
Yes, his sister Mary spoke. I'm just trying. There was and his nephew, I forget which one, also spoke. Uh-huh. Not the one who wrote the article in the Globe and Mail, which was, by the way, a very good one on Mike's life.
So you can find that in the Globe and Mail obituaries. Please go there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. He didn't speak. He was there, but there were the first two rows were all C-words.
So he had a ready-made caucus.
They're an interesting group because they're all working class people. Some are pro union, some are not. Mike used to have to fight with some. I won't say who, but some of his family members, usually the in-laws, were not pro union. And actually,
we should say, Mike, in fairness, because I come from a solid working, I have blue collar credentials. I'm a snob about that. But we would fight over whether you needed a union. Because, you know, there are prejudices amongst ordinary working people. So why should I pay money to those bums? They're not going to do anything.
That's right.
You know, that's
a
form of class consciousness.
Felt that way. Yeah, he had family members who felt that way. And they showed up, comfortable or not, they showed up to the event. It was well attended. It was about 120 people there.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big crowd, and that just about fills the Steelworker Hall on Cecil.
Yeah, it filled the Cecil Street Steelworker Hall, yeah. It did. And the speakers included Kenny Newman, the national director, Marty Warren, district director, John Cartwright, the president of the Labor Council, Carolyn Egan, Peter Tabbins from the NDP. Mike was very active in the NDP, was the president of his riding association, and ran for the NDP in Aurora.
Mm-hmm. He ran several times, I believe.
He ran several times.
I know. Yeah. I used to go and have to put up the signs and do as you told me.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah.
Well, he was always there for us, as we said, and so we were there for him.
That's
too.
Exactly right. You can't say no to somebody who's the guy who's always there when he calls you. You have to say yes.
Yeah. No,
you don't have anything on him. You can't say, well, look, Mike, you didn't do anything. Well, yes, he did. And you
Mike
sang a song.
Was always there.
You sang
Mike
a song.
Was always there.
You sang, did you not?
Yes, I did. Actually, the last time I spoke on your program, I had mentioned that we met Mike really through music. And so I sang Bourgeois Blues, which is the Leadbelly song about racism in Washington, D.C.
Great song.
And John Collins, who also was a chief, John and I were chief stewards at John Inglis Local 2900, the steelworkers in 75, when we met Mike. And his two favorite songs were Bourgeois Blues and the song that that John Collins sang, and John attended the event and sang, and the band played Waltzing Matilda, a very good anti-war song.
Yes, well,
a day after
band
November
in Canada,
11th, Remembrance Day. It was good timing, reminding everyone who fights in these wars. And I sang and John sang, as I had suggested we would at your last program.
Wow. I'm really proud of all you guys are doing that. And of course, it brings up another name, Peter Leibovich, who was his good friend. And the two of them represent the best qualities of organized labor.
Absolutely. They were very close because they had worked together on the Patterson campaign. Mm-hmm. And Mike was very active in when Peter ran for District 6 director as well of the steelworkers in Ontario and the eastern provinces. And so Mike was very active on Peter's campaign as well. Mm-hmm. Peter could always depend on Mike. They would have their differences on hockey and football, but not on politics.
Well, exactly. Well, of course, those are fighting words, you know, Tiger Cats versus whomever.
Whomever.
Now, yeah. Did you say there's a plaque?
There is a plaque commemorating Mike for his contribution to the union.
Where will this plaque be found?
It'll be at Cecil Street, which is the home of the Toronto Area Council, the Steelworkers Toronto Area Council.
And is it already up or will it be there?
It's there. I assume it's hanging there now. It was presented by a good friend of Mike, Merv Rusty King, presented the thing to the family, the plaque to the family. Mm-hmm. And Rusty works for the steelworkers as well on the injured workers program.
Yeah.
And it's sitting there. It's on the wall of Cecil Street. Will be there forever.
Well,
Lynn Williams and all the leaders of the union.
Yeah. I have a story for you, Mike. I don't know if you're aware of this. We could that Mike would have been very pleased about. The Ontario Federation of Labour met last week, as you know.
Yeah.
And there was a resolution. The OFL said that they wanted to get out 1 million votes for the coming election in Ontario, 1 million votes. So a union, I cannot name that one, but I don't know its name, put the resolution saying 1 million votes for the NDP.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then there was a division in the hall because certain unions were not very enthusiastic about naming the NDP. So they divided the vote and said, let's first of all vote on whether or not a 1 million votes out for the coming election. So they said, yes. Then they said, okay, now we're going to vote on shall the 1 million votes go to the NDP? And it was a loud, tough thing won by yes.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I'm in Florida.
We're going to call we were going to call that the C-word resolution.
Yes, that absolutely. And Michael would have been all over that, wearing buttons and pins.
I can see him smiling from here because he would have been in that, a very noisy participant in that vote.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mike was never quiet about any of these issues.
Yeah, no.
And
whenever I was within 20 yards of him, our conversation would start. So, no, he was not a quiet person.
No.
Thank heaven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Mike Hirsch, we're really grateful you took the time. We should make a point to talk about Mike Seward, Peter Leavitt, at least a couple times a year, just to remind everybody what it is to be a really class-conscious trade unionist who knows how to do politics too.
I agree. I agree totally.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll be playing a song you might know with the Almanac Singers called "Going to Roll the Union On," but you'll have to miss out.
Oh, good.
On
great song.
Thanks. Thanks again, Mike.
Okay. Thanks, Phil. Okay.
Bye-bye. And I'm back. I know because I'm trying to find my chair. Phil, do you got a story about Mike Seward?
Well, I certainly do because Mike, as I mentioned and as Mike mentioned, was a great advocate for Newfoundland, a great student of Newfoundland history. And Mike Seward is one who taught me about how we should really be celebrating July 1. Uh-huh. It was July 1, we have the big party, and we call it Canada's birthday and all that sort of. But for Newfoundlanders, July 1 is a horrible day because it was on July 1, 1917, that British Army officers sent almost the entire Newfoundland regiment into one of those insane battles for a hill somewhere in France. And basically, the young manhood of Newfoundland got wiped out in an afternoon. And so every year on July the 1st, Newfoundlanders would gather to mourn, the death of somebody from their community. Then they joined Canada and they were told, July 1st, the day we have balloons and all that sort of stuff, right? And Mike would always say, I'm not going to be flying balloons on July 1st,
Good for him. No, that was part of the message of the labor movement. Let's add the word peace. The labor movement is interested in peace because when the time to fight, it is not the wealthiest who do, and it is the poor devils who are unemployed, whatnot, and and are thrown into, first of all, into the inhumane training, which I tell you, having experienced it, it is barbaric, actually, most training. And then they're thrown into battles. And then afterwards, everybody says, he was great, and I'm going to speak in the name of that man who's no longer here. And he came to give his life for his country. You have no idea, you SOB, talking about what he thought or wanted. Most of them wanted to go home. I mean, if you read the poems, Wilfred Owen, Siegfried Sassoon, read the poems. It's clear that they were appalled, repelled by what was going on. In the case of Wilfred Owen, he said, there's a man I'm supposed to put a bayonet through who, if I met him on the street, I'd probably buy him a beer. You know, please. I mean, the labor movement is not a war movement. The labor movement wants their expects of leaders that they will do everything possible to avoid a war. But we're back in the sales business. You know, oh, this is a wonderful monument. Oh, I love all those medals. Well, for what? I mean, particularly World War I is the one where nobody can figure out what that was about, other than monarchs decided to bump heads, and then bodies were strewn all over the place. So people have to be reminded there's a very material connection between organized labor and the working masses. Even Rudyard Kipling noticed that, and the need for peace. –